I was going to start with a video that will give you indigestion, but I think we'll start with the sponsor that would prevent indigestion. But I'm not playing the whole thing.
Apples before watching this.
Most apples have been grown for sugar content. Look at some of the labels. Sugar bee apple. Now, that ought to tell you what's in there. How about a honey crisp apple? That ought to tell you what's in there.
It's actually
if you're
amazing.
In the apple section, grab some crab apples. One bite is going to tell you they're pretty doggone bitter. They have more of what you're actually looking for, which is the polyphenols. And these make a great addition to salad.
I'm not playing the entire thing because then there's going to be no purpose to go over and watch it, people. Oh, speaking of indigestion, which we might get today, it's caused by potential toxins in the food that we think are so-called healthy foods that scientists have been telling us to eat with the fraudulent food pyramid. By the way, Joe Rogan was just talking about this recently, where they were saying compare the so-called healthy fruits and vegetables or the healthy fruits today to what was in still life paintings from, you know, hundreds of years ago. And the fruits are virtually unrecognizable because they've been bred or whatever it is, like refined to be so sweet that sometimes they actually say they can't even feed them to zoo animals. No joke, it was on a podcast with Rogan, I forget which one. All that to say is that some toxins might be causing digestive issues, according to Dr. Gundry, the guy you just saw, a world-renowned cardiologist, which is affecting millions of people nationwide. Warning signs include weight gain, fatigue, digestive discomfort, stiff joints, even skin problems. Dr. Gundry explains that these side effects are often mistaken for normal signs of aging. I'm going to see if there's something about my sciatic nerve that I can that can be resolved through diet. Digestive issues typically take years, if not more, to materialize. The good news is you can easily fix these problems for yourself from home. It's very simple. Go watch that video. The description is in the link. It is at gutcleanseprotocol.com/viva. That's gutcleanseprotocol.com/viva. We might play a few more seconds of this. Because after years of research, Dr. Gundry has decided to release an informational video to the public for free. Uninterrupted, showcasing exactly which foods you need to avoid. gutcleanseprotocol.com/viva. Let's do it at 30 seconds.
Avocados are really one of the best foods that
Good.
You can eat.
Good.
They're almost pure fat and fiber. And
I eat a lot of those.
Fiber that your gut buddies love. You will actually lose weight by eating avocados.
Good. Stop.
Tomatoes.
Stop. That's it. Ooh. Hold on, I want to see. Tomatoes good or bad? I'm going to say bad.
Yeah, remember, tomatoes are not a vegetable.
They're
they
a legume.
Are a fruit.
They're a fruit.
And the scary thing about tomatoes is that the peel and the seeds have lectins. In fact, fairly nasty lectins. So if you have issues with joint pain, arthritis, this is not your friend.
Stop. I'm going to leave a little bit of mystery for everybody as I welcome everyone to the stream. And share the link here. Link here, and it's in the description, so check it out. I have to watch that to the end. See, I saw, it's very funny, I've been getting ads for sciatic nerve pain, and it's very weird. Some of them say, don't drink cold water. good afternoon, everybody. I forgot. What's amazing is, like, I don't go live with news coverage for a day. Yesterday, I had Kareem Assad on. We were talking about some madness up in Canada. I don't go live for a day. And the news builds up so fast, you should see my tabs that I have in the backdrop because they're wild. It's Trump. It's, oh, Glenn Greenwald dropped. I would call it something of not a groundbreaker, earth-shattering, but, you know, something that doesn't necessarily make the Daily Wire look good through their conduct. I will steel man the Daily Wire's position when we get there. And a bunch of other stuff, you know, AstraZeneca, just some small news there. A ton of stuff that we're going to talk about today, but we're going to start off with, before we head over to Rumble exclusively, what's going on with the Trump trial. But before we get into any of that, people, I have been irresponsible in making sure that I am not live, or that I am in fact live, across all the various platforms. Humperdue says locals. Hold on a second. Humperdue says locals. Hold on. Son of a beasting. Oh, Viva, you damn idiot. I added the RTP. I'm sorry, guys. Hold on. Locals clip added. Did I not hit save? Let me just double check. Locals, hold on. It's coming. Thank you, Humperdue. One, step two, It's just me and you. Step three. Okay, and we're going to... I know that I saved it. I know that I saved it. Okay, now I'm going to go down here and save. Do carnivore for a month and see how you feel. I eat a ton of meat, but I also eat a ton of vegetables. And then I also binge like an idiot. But okay, set that aside. Let me go make sure and refresh on locals. I know that I was... Anyway, sorry, guys. I think I must have forgotten to hit save. There's my ugly punim. Locals, how's it going? Sorry about that. If you missed the intro video, it was Dr. Gundry at gutcleanseprotocol.com/viva. gutcleanseprotocol.com/viva for a video on all of the good fruits to eat and the bad ones to avoid. Interesting information there. Okay. Now, for those of you who are new to the channel, and you don't know who I am or how this goes. Viva Fry, David Fry, hey, former Montreal litigator turned current Florida Rumbler, talking law, doing long format interviews. I'm exclusive with Rumble. And what we do, we vote with our eyeballs, we vote with our feet, and we vote with our dollar. We start off on YouTube, Rumble, and vivabarneslaw.locals.com, the best, most above average community out there anywhere. We stop after a certain period of time on YouTube and we head over to Rumble. And then when we're done with the stream on Rumble, we go over to the locals for the after party. These beautiful things called Super Chats, YouTube takes 30% of that. So if you want to support me and the work that I do, there's a number of ways. Sharing is free. Sharing is caring. You can go over to Rumble. Let me make sure I have the thing open here. And they have these things called Rumble Rants, which... Rumble takes 20% typically, but I think for the rest of the year, they take 0%. The best way to support, vivabarneslaw.locals.com. 10 bucks a month or 100 bucks a year if you get the entire year. Now, someone on Rumble is saying, sound on Rumble, sound on Rumble, sound on Rumble. And I'm not sure if that's trolling, but it looks like it's working. Viva, your personality, strong, thumbs up, stay honest, and inform us some more. Well, we'll do it today. The joke about the, more gag, less justice. I'm going to go over some inner city press coverage in real time, but the story of the day is that Trump is debating contempt yet again in front of Justice Marchand. I don't think we say justice in the States. Judge Marchand. Judge Juan Marchand, who, as I have been making known since it's been made known, and will continue to say it because the gag order applies to Trump, but not to legal analysts and commentators, Judge Juan Marchand, who has demonstrable, visible, palpable, vitriolic disdain for Donald Trump. Back in 2019, according to Judge Marchand's daughter, he and his daughter were having a discussion, and he said to his daughter how he hates politicians who use Twitter. This is obviously referencing Trump. It's unpresidential, unprofessional, et cetera, et cetera. His daughter, who's an executive or a president or involved in a PR firm that does political work for Adam Schiff, a political action committee from the Democrats, I forget what it's called, raising tens of millions of dollars as a result of this prosecution. He refused to recuse himself, issued a gag order against Trump, issued an expanded gag order against Trump yesterday or the day before, I think it might have been yesterday, issued a ruling on the first 10 charges of contempt and found Trump guilty, criminal contempt, for 9 of the 10 charges, for stuff that's retweeting an article from the New York Post about Michael Cohen being a pathological serial perjurer, among other stuff. He's before him again this morning on contempt. Now, hold on one second. On the issue of the gag order, many of you may not know, and if you don't, you will now. I was on with the Unusual Suspects yesterday. And I do. I go there to visit and they invite me and I love the show and I love the gang. And I had to give our boy, Joe Nierman, Good Logic, the shout out that he deserves. My segment yesterday was on the Donald Trump gag order contempt finding. Go check this out at the Unusual Suspects on Twitter. Why they aren't streaming on Rumble? I don't know. I'll have to nudge someone at Valuetainment. But I'll, for the time being, here's the highlight that I posted to Twitter. From the boys at The Unusual Suspect.
You make a good case for it? Like, can you name a case that gag order is in place?
Yeah, witness identification, disclosure potentially of some evidence that other potential witnesses might then destroy. You could think of very rare, extreme examples, or in the case of minors. You could think of some cases where Not
the exception to the rule Zoolander of public hearings minors. Can possibly be warranted. In this case, the judge is saying we got to gag Trump on his First Amendment rights in order to protect the administration of justice.
Bullshit.
Allowing people their constitutional rights is the administration of justice. First Testify. Of all, shout out to Joe Nierman. Good logic. A New York attorney actually filed, it's a rule 78, I forget what it's called, to challenge the gag order. Joe Nierman, good logic, L-A-W-G-I-C, went to court and said this gag order is unconstitutional, but not just for Trump, for my rights to hear what he has to say. This is an election season. I want to hear what the candidate has to say. It's not his right to speak only. Wow. It's my right to hear. And then the judge swiftly said, no, you know, come back with a bigger name and maybe we'll reconsider this. In the ruling, the judge in the conclusion ordered Trump to remove two truth posts or two posts from his campaign website.
This is, I mean, you've seen this. I put out a short video about this yesterday. He ordered him to remove two posts about Michael Cohen from the campaign website.
To which I tweeted out, this is election interference. You're telling a candidate to remove information that his constituents want to see. Remove it from your campaign website in an election season while you're being tied down for 6 weeks of trial, gagged during the 6 weeks of trial. Mm-hmm. This is lawfare election interference, and everybody has to see it for that. And the judge really wants to put Trump in jail. It'll be
see it, say it. If you see something, say something. When you see election interference, say something about the election interference. What do I have to say for the end of this?
Be glorious if they cross that Rubicon.
And he took those tweets down, correct? Or the posts on True Social.
I'm not going to call him a coward. I believe he did remove them as per the judge's order. The question is going to be if he comes out and tweets something, gives his presser in the morning. Judge is just waiting. They're just waiting.
I don't know if you can hear, but there's a dog vomiting in the corner of my home studio.
This is why...
Not only can I not have nice things, but I can't have guests at the home studio. So that was yesterday. That's a highlight from my segment on the Unusual Suspects, where I talked about the contempt ruling yesterday. They're back before the judge this morning, and Inner City Press is live tweeting. I don't know how he does it unless he's just dictating, but it's like, it's amazing what Inner City Press Matthew Russell Lee is doing. Thank you, not a banned account, thank you for being a factual source for news. See, not knowing if I think not a banned account is a parody account, I don't know if this is intended to be. I'm taking it as a compliment. Thank you very much. They're back before the judge today. The trial is going to keep going on. The trial is revealing nothing but the most egregious bullcrap of all time. Barnes was spot on, and he like blew my mind Sunday night when he said David Pecker, the Bragg's Pecker. You got Pecker, you got a gagger, and you got, okay, there's a lot of stuff going on in this case. David Pecker, what was he, the executive or the president of AMI, which owned National Geographic. And the question came up at one point during this trial, why the hell would AMI buy the rights to the doorman, Trump fathering a child out of, you know, out of wedlock when they knew the story was a lie? And then Barnes is like, well, because they were involved in something of a very casually or a very subtly disguised extortion ring. Buy rights to a bullshit story that you know is bullshit. And they say, hey, Trump, you want to pay us for this? I mean, it's bullshit, but we'll run it if you don't, and it'll still do the damage it'll do, even though it's bullshit, even though we know it's bullshit. Sorry for swearing so much. So the idea that you know, AMI was running something of an extortion ring also, in retrospect, explains why they signed a non-prosecution agreement with the government back in 2018. I couldn't understand why they did that in 2018. My initial 2D level interpretation was that AMI signed the non-prosecution agreement with the state of New York because they were afraid of being prosecuted for an in-kind campaign contribution. I think that's probably a legitimate interpretation as well, or a legitimate hypothesis. It's the obvious one. The lesser obvious one is they might have been involved in something of an extortion ring on their own, buying the rights to stories and saying, we'll publish them unless you kill them. We've caught them. Now you kill them. And so they signed a non-prosecution, you know, protecting themselves from prosecution because, A, they don't want to get accused of an in-kind campaign contribution that they didn't disclose, and B, maybe extortion. Okay, the trial's bullcrap. But the hearing from this morning is ultra, mega, super duper bullcrap. Now, I've opened the X thing up on the, hold on one second. I opened up the thread in my, I created a, not a burner account. I've called it Viva Burner because I don't want anyone thinking I'm doing something untoward. I just don't want to accidentally at any point in time open up my DMs and have people see someone's number that they're not necessarily supposed to see or whatever. Where is this freaking window here? Hold on a second. Okay, it's right here. So I see it. Keski spouse window. Ah, there we go. It's this one. Yeah, this is it right here. Let me see here. Okay, good. We're seeing it right here. So this is Inner City Press live tweeting. I'll do a sort of the Robert Gouveia thing, but I'm not going through all of these tweets, but we're going to go through the essential. It started earlier this morning. Trump arrives at court and they say all rise, yada, yada. Okay. They are starting off the day with the hearing on the contempt. So Justice Marchand says here, we're up at the one where you see this little cursor. We'll have the hearing on contempt. The defense provided close to 500 pages in total. People, why don't you go through each of the violations and explain? Listen to what they are alleging is a violation for which Trump should be fined even more. But don't worry, they're still only going for money. They're not going for jail time yet. Defendant is claiming that the order was not intended to allow the others to attack him without being able to respond, but he's already found to have violated that order 9 times and he's done it again. Yeah, I highlighted this part of the judgment yesterday where the judge says in the order, this protective or this gag order was not intended to be used as a sword as opposed to a shield by the alleged witnesses who need protection from the gag order. Some of them might have been using it as a sword. Hey, look at that. Trump's got the old Zed's Dead ball gag in his mouth and he can't talk back. So I'll call him Mr. Von Shittenpants on Twitter. Stormy Daniels can come out and needle him every day and not in the way that she's used to needling people. So they're saying, hey, he's gagged and we can take a dump on him over social media. And if he does respond, he risks going to jail. So the judge was addressing this and now they're arguing it. But he carved out a section in his judgment. Don't know if you saw the video that I said. He says, well, on a going forward basis, we might have to consider that. But, it's very convenient that 6 days ago now, Michael Cohen said, I'm going to stop posting on social media. Maybe I'll just shut my big, convicted perjurer mouth now, according to Arthur Engoron. Okay, so that's it. So they're saying, look, they're attacking him, but he's already violated the gag order. On April 25, reporters were questioning him. I think it was all part of the plan. This is InterCity Press really doing it quite verbatim. They asked about David Pecker. Defendant said he's a nice guy, the classic carrot and stick. He selectively responded to this question and not others. The prosecutors go on to say in an interview to a Pennsylvania TV station, he said Michael Cohen is a convicted liar and has no credibility. Can you imagine? They're trying to hold this against Donald Trump. Arthur Engoron called Michael Cohen a convicted perjurer. So are they saying now Trump cannot cite with approbation Arthur Engoron, a judge's own words? They're trying to. He got in trouble. He did some bad things. Yeah, okay, fine. On April 22nd, outside the door of this courtroom, in this little pen that's up, whatever, he stood there for 9 minutes, spoke about witnesses that will be here at some date in the future. Oh, he just spoke about witnesses. Didn't speak about any. Just said, oh, what did he say? Hold on a second. We understand the court's concerned about Michael Cohen, yada, yada, yada. Prosecutor, Mr. Blanche, right here, said his client understands the gag order, so we have met our burden. We are asking for the maximum of $1,000, yada, yada, yada. Okay. Then Blanche gets up and says, on Tuesday, the court said to us that the purpose of the gag order is to shield those fearful of reprisal from the defendant. That's a reason to deny these four. They're talking about four of the charges because they're provoking him. Let's see going in here. I'll focus on the rest of the statements. Last week, President Trump's rival, Joe Biden, said in the public forum, he talked about a witness in the trial. He said, you might call it stormy weather. Ha, ha, ha. Judge says he can respond to Biden. He just can't speak about witnesses in this trial. Well, first of all, the witnesses shouldn't be reading the news anyhow, but set that aside. He can reply to President Trump, but he can't reply to the general administration of justice. Holy hell. Okay, they talk about removing some people from the gag order because some of them are opening their big fat mouths. Let's see, that's not what I want to go to. Here, Trump's lawyer, every word that's being recorded here is being reported in real time. President Trump has to respond. What's happening in this trial? Marchand says, it's not surprising we have press here. The defendant is the former president. Oh, whoop-de-freaking-do. Marchand says, the defendant is the leading Republican candidate now. I don't have the authority over the press. No, but I don't have authority over the press, but I can sure as hell extend a gag order to Trump. He went to them, not the press to him. Oh, I can't gag the press, but I can make sure that a defendant cannot address the press, cannot make statements about an ongoing criminal proceeding, cannot make political statements in the year that he's campaigning. It's outrageous. Let me see where this goes here. They talk about Cohen's doing some crazy stuff on TikTok, like psychotic, not like wild and stupid, psychotic. I mean, it's crazy if you've seen what Michael Cohen is doing, the hearts and the it looks like he's possessed by a demon while he's trying to talk. You listen to this. This is my favorite. They're talking about, what's his face? What's the guy's name? Michael Cohen. He doesn't need protection. What about the comments he made about the jury, says Mershon. Oh, come on. Don't do that, David. What about the comments he made about the jury? Blanche, it was 15 seconds from a 20-minute interview. Listen to what Marchand says. He said the jury was rushed through. Does that violate the gag order? To which I would have responded, not a go F yourself, Elon Musk. I would have said, you said the jury was rushed through, Judge Marchand. You said we got jury selection so quickly, Trump can go to his kids' graduation. Didn't Marchand say that? I think he did, but I know one thing. The media said that the jury was rushed through. They said it was done so quickly, it was surprising. I'll show you that in a second. And then they wrap it up. Okay, that's it. So, no. Hey, Marchand, you know who else said the jury was done quickly? You. Oh, so Trump can say that it was done quickly when it's praising you and your conduct, but he can't say it was done quickly as a fault? Huh. So now not only are you saying what he can and cannot say, you're crafting the way in which he can say that which you say he can say while restricting his ability to say things that you don't want him to say. Hold on. Don't take my word for it, people. Oh, no, that's not it. Hold on. And we're going to put a couple of people on blast who are pathological liars, but in due time. Here we go. No. Oh, where is it? Interesting section from the judge's ruling. No, I'll get there in a second. See, this is where having two computers might be useful. Here we go. This one right here. This is in response to Matthew Russell Lee. He said the jury was rushed through. Does that violate the gag order? Trump, he wasn't speaking about a particular juror. Yada, yada, yada. What was the end of that? Let's wrap it up. But here, let's just a couple articles here. This was from law.com. The New York judge presiding over Donald Trump's criminal case may have shocked the country when he impaneled seven jurors on Tuesday following just 2 days of juror selections. But observers say it shows the jurist is in complete control of the proceedings. So it was done really quickly. It was rushed, but it's a good thing. So you could say it's rushed as a good, but you can't say it's rushed as a casting questionable possibilities about having a jury that's rushed through in a 85% Democrat, Hillary Clinton loving, corrupt state. Okay. Oh, here's another one from Lawfare. Ironic name. And we have a jury faster than expected. Can he quote this? Because he's by quoting this, according to Justice Mershon, Judge Mershon, he's making the words his own. It's as though he formulates that thought, puts it out there, makes it his own for contempt purposes. A dispatch from the final 2 days of the jury selection Manhattan attorney case against Donald Trump. Okay, so Lawfare says it was done quickly. What was the other one? What was the other one called? Law.com says it was done quickly. Judge Marshall says it was done quickly. But when Donald Trump says it was done quickly, contempt. By the way, if you saw my face like this for a second, I thought I accidentally just shut the window of the entire stream. Tracking Canada's decline is anti-Semitism rising. Overall intolerance is rising. The intolerance is, it's funny, like, okay, let's just say anti-Semitism is rising. I mean, I don't know how you can deny that, seeing what's going on. Intolerance is rising. It's an amazing thing what happens in a society when intolerance is on the rise. It materializes itself and metastasizes itself in all directions. Churches are burning. Churches are burning. There was one in Nova Scotia the other day that just burnt. Intolerance is rising, and it has been rising under the Trudeau divisive, progressive, racialized identity politic agenda since that son of a bastard took... That's funny. I was going to call him a bastard or son of a bitch. I couldn't figure out which one. So son of a bastard works also. Since that bastard took office. It's an amazing thing. When intolerance rises, it materializes and metastasizes across the board. So yeah, anti-Semitism is rising. So is anti-Christian sentiment. So is anti-vaccine sentiment. So is intolerance for citizens. We're going to get into that in a bit with this New York bill, but you want to make society safe and tolerant. You focus on all of society and the safety of all Canadians and Americans, and not just the safety of specific groups, because that just drives a wedge between everybody else. Joe has a give, send, go to retain some help. Yeah, good. Well, check out Good Logic and everything there. What I was going to say now, I think that's it for Trump. Let me just make sure that I've got nothing in the backdrop about Trump. And we're going to get into a speaking of, you know, the rise of anti-Semitism or the rise of intolerance at large, the rise of effing madness. You're going to see a New York proposed bill from a guy who's not Jewish, but he's like, if he's a mole trying to exacerbate anti-Semitism, keep on doing what he's doing, because it's only going to achieve that perspective. Let me see here. This one, why is this one up here? Though this is the interesting section from the judge's ruling. Listen to this, talking about provocation of witnesses. You've all seen this if you watched the vlog yesterday. It is of the utmost importance to this court that the expanded order not be used as a sword instead of a shield by potential witnesses. Consideration of such usage will be weighed by this court when ruling on the willfulness of any future claims, you know, but not any of the past claims. When the convicted perjurer called Trump Mr. Von Schitzen Pants and made this other joke. So yeah, that's it. All right, I think that is it for Trump now, officially. Okay, good. I want to bring something to the attention of the general public. Lawrence Tribe is a pathological liar. Lawrence Tribe of Harvard Law. And I'm saying Harvard Law not because I'm like doing that thing where, like, you know, I don't think he can get fired. He's probably, if he's still there, he's tenured or he's whatever they, I'm not saying that as the like get him fired, cancel culture type thing. I'm saying that as in, how the hell does a confirmed, demonstrable, partisan hack of a pathological liar not humiliate his university to the point where they might say, look, we can't do anything about it. We're not going to, but he doesn't reflect us and he doesn't reflect the quality of our institution. Listen to what this man said. Tribe Law. He's got a Ukrainian flag in his profile for some reason. Look at that. Look at that face. Okay. He's got the single best overview ever written of the impeachment process by the man who got his ass handed to him 9-0 by the Supreme Court on the 14th Amendment bullshit argument that he concocted and that he sold as gold. That's Lawrence Tribe. We're living through a revolt against the future. The future will prevail. Yeah, that's great. That's wonderful. HLS, Harvard, EGU. He's faculty. Dudes, I'm not going crazy. He's a university professor of constitutional law, emeritus. Okay, so he's retired, I guess, or whatever. That's Lawrence Tribe. Oh, for goodness sake, did I lose the? Oh, did I do this? Now I've lost the tweet. Oh, for goodness sake. I'm so stupid sometimes. Yeah, it's not going to work. He put out a tweet that basically said, and not basically, it's verbatim. Trump is going to make it impossible for all women to have he's going to make all women submit to medical exams, as he just reported to Time Magazine. Trump is going to make all women submit to periodic medical exams that prevent things like abortion. All women, based on what statements he purports were made in a Time article magazine. I went and did the responsible thing and actually went and read that Time article magazine. And it's like, you think that they don't have the 5 minutes it takes while they're, you know, sitting on the toilet in the morning to go read it and know exactly what it says. I have to go get the original tweet now. Sorry, guys. Give me a second. No, that's not it. Time, looking for Time magazine in my timeline. It was from yesterday. You think like they don't take the 5 minutes. Or they do, but they know that nobody else is going to. So look at this here. Let's bring this up. Actually, I'm just going to live dangerously for a second and go to my actual Twitter account here. Well, this I'm responding to Daniel Goldman, who also comes out and says, we don't need to speculate about what a second Trump term would look like. He's telling everyone women would be prosecuted for having an abortion. See, Daniel Goldman, being the wordsmith weasel that he is, didn't say all women. He just said women. So long as any women would be prosecuted for having an abortion, even according to him. What did the Time magazine article actually say? What Trump's abortion comments to Time reveal about plans for a second term? What did he say? I mean, it's such juvenile writing. It's like a 5-year-old idiot wrote this. Put simply, The current patchwork system, in which every state's abortion policy is different, is exactly how things should remain in Trump's mind. In other words, he's respecting a Supreme Court decision that overturned Roe v. Wade and said it's a state decision, not a federal decision. He would respect the rule of law, the tyrant dictator who would overthrow democracy. It would stay the way it is now that Roe v. Wade has been overturned. And by the way, Roe v. Wade, for those idiot, moron, lying scumbags out there who say it criminalizes abortion, all that it said is that it's a state decision. Send it back to the states, kick it to the states, let each state do it. You don't like what Alabama has to say by way of abortion? Go see Gavin Newsom. The state of affairs is bound to leave both supporters of reproductive rights unsatisfied, as well as those who view terminating a pregnancy at any stage as tantamount to murder. In Trump 2.0's America, red states gonna red state, blue states gonna blue state. Get that moron a Pulitzer Prize. They're liars. And they're liars, and they lie so bold-faced because they know that nobody's even going to take the 5 minutes it takes to check the actual article. Man, this is this. Oh, look, man, that's it. All right. But that's a Harvard professor. At one point, do I have this one here? At one point, I have to, if I have it, he came out and said, verbatim, let me see if it's here. Oh, yeah, here. This is it. I don't have the entire tweet. He came out and said verbatim, Trump's repeated calls for mass deportations of foreign-born U.S. citizens. Trump's repeated calls for mass deportations of foreign-born U.S. citizens, including his February 29 promise to use local police as well as federal troops to round up people and move them to camps for deportation, yada, yada, yada. This is a Harvard professor emeritus. Lies. Now, maybe I should have been a little more polite. My wife says, do you think you're going to get him to respond when you say that? And I was like, I could say pretty please with a cherry on top. And that scumbag liar is not going to respond. So I may as well do it in a way that's going to capture somebody else's attention. Show me where Trump has called for deportation of, quote, foreign-born U.S. citizens, end quote. I fucking dare you, you pathological liar. And not in a threat way. Do it. Prove me wrong. Oh, would I eat that tweet if I could ever find it? By the way, he never said it. Remember that time you lied and said Trump threatened to deport foreign-born U.S. citizens and I called you a liar and dared you to provide the evidence and you never did because you're a liar? You wouldn't be doing the same thing here, right? Would you? As relates to the Trump... Oh, here we go. Trump just told Time magazine that in his second term as president, he'd force every pregnant woman to submit to constant government monitoring to ensure that she's doing nothing to endanger her, quote, unborn child, like, say, abortion. Because it's almost like a fetus means the unborn offspring of a mammal, which some people might call a child. It's almost like fetus by definition means an unborn child, but set that aside. And it's almost like an abortion might be ending the life of a fetus, that being an unborn child. Okay. And whether or not you think that it should be done, the window should be open, even if it's immoral and wrong to do, set that aside. He's a godforsaken, shameless, rapacious, indefatigable liar. And he's Harvard emeritus, because that's the quality of Harvard. I wonder why, you know, Harvard is having the problems it's having now. Someone doesn't like the topics? Why would they come to our concert just to boo us? I think I put the topics in the title. Anyways, by the way, yeah, we're going to end on YouTube now. So come on over to Rumble, where we are at 3,200 strong, give or take. There's about 1,000 of us on YouTube. So take the party on over to Rumble. And let me just see if there's any... Let me go to the locals, vivabarneslaw.locals.com for a second. We've got a picture of Fannie Willis and AI or montage that looks like Little Miss Piggy, but okay, that's not very nice. Who did that? Don't do that. What do we got here? We got Bill Brown with a $3 tip says, price of gas, watch the price of up, up, up. It's a Cat in the Hat rhyme. Up, 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 watch the price of gas go, and we can all thank the perv and the hoe. That's fun. Okay, and then we got Mandalici $5 says, I do hope everyone has seen OMG James O'Keefe's explosive video of CIA that was just released. Seriously damaging for CIA and should be top news. Will, we looked at that yesterday. You know what? Yeah, let's move on over to Rumble. We'll talk about that in a second. We had an exclusive watch party in our locals afterwards. Link to Rumble. And if you're so inclined to skip the line and come on over to vivabarneslaw.locals.com, link to locals. Boom. Oh, we're going to get into this New York bill, which if your goal was to create anti-Semitism, this is the bill that you would propose to the general public. Do I be stubborn and wait for that number to go under 800? vivabarneslaw.locals.com. And I'd like to thank our sponsor one more time, gutcleanseprotocol.com/viva. Go check out the video and know what to eat and what not to eat. As a man with IBS myself, I have been told to not eat certain things. Caffeine, alcohol, red meat, to which I say poo-poo. If you think I'm going to live a miserable, bland life, but there's other things that I know that I should not eat. Onions, anything with like radish, chive, that garlicky stuff, that upsets my stomach. Okay, that's it. We're good enough. We're at 800. OCD shall be annoyed thoroughly today, so. Boom. Ending. Ah, there we go. 776. Oh, that's a good number. Done. Off YouTube, on Rumble. People, check this out. I'm going to get called names one way or the other. We're going to go. I hate talking religion. I don't like talking about these protests either because it's complicated. I hate it. Everybody is just out there looking for their gotchas. You had Caitlin Collins thinks she got her gotcha against J.D. Vance. So you think people who violently break into buildings and smash windows should be arrested? Yep.
Oh, excuse me, because I think I remember that you seem to have stood up for the January 6th. Oh, here it is. Look
at that stupid face on her. I'm sorry.
Police people for being anti-Israel or pro-Israel. You can't police people for violating.
Hold on. Here we go.
Police people for being anti-Israel or pro-Israel. Oh, you can't police people for violating the law. We have seen some of that with some of these protests.
Okay. So you agree that people who break in and vandalize a building should be prosecuted?
Exactly.
Okay. I'm just checking. Help raise money for people who did so on January 6th, which was, you know, impeding an official proceeding, breaking into a building.
Notice how the first one she started with didn't involve vandalism.
They weren't allowed to be in and vandalizing the Capitol.
Well, Caitlin, I know that this is the obsession of the national media to talk about what happened 2 years ago, 3 years ago on January 6th.
It's not an obsession. I'm just seeing if it's a double standard.
No, let me answer the question, Caitlin. I mean, look, here's been my basic argument about January the 6th. If you beat up a cop, of course you deserve to go to prison. If you violated the law, you should suffer the consequences. But there are people who protested on January the 6th who have had the complete weight of the Justice Department thrown at them when, at worst, they're accused of misdemeanors. Now, again, there are people
non-violent, non-destructive,
accused of worse offenses, and that's
impeding,
problem.
Obstructing official proceedings.
Black Lives Matter protesters who rioted and vandalized goes free when you have people who were actually peacefully protesting on January the 6th who have the book thrown at them. That's the double standard that I'm most worried about.
That's a good answer.
Yeah, I don't think there's an obsession with January 6th, but it is a...
I don't think there's an obsession with January 6th. Holy crab apples, that's because you're an idiot or a liar. Oh, yeah, no, there's no obsession with January 6th. You have people comparing it to 9/11 and Pearl Harbor, but no obsession. Darkest day in American history, but no obsession whatsoever. Prosecuting over 1,100 people, over 860 man years in prison, but there's no obsession whatsoever. Oh, my goodness. Liars. But, and I said this also, like, hey, for those who are violent, you still don't get to lock them up and throw away the key. There was a guy who fended off a police officer with a flagpole, sentenced to 3 years. Holy hell, you got two Molotov cocktail throwing lawyers out of New York who get, what do they get, 1 year? Less? Oh my goodness. You get the summer of love in which like 150 people were killed, burning buildings, slightly fiery, but mostly peaceful protests. What time did they serve? Who else was out there? Enrique Tarrio wasn't even there to be violent. 22 years. So there's no double standard. The punishment should be proportionate to the infraction. But I'll tell you this, if you want to exacerbate, you know, in the face of all of this chaos, which is just, it's just fundamental intolerance, it's fundamental lawlessness, it's materialized in this way now. You want to make things worse? You're going to do exactly what Congressman Michael Lawler, what's his name here? Michael Lawler. Oh, there's a UFC fighter named Lawler. You'll do what Mike Lawler wants to do. If you want to exacerbate anti-Semitism, this is how you do it. Mike Lawler, congressman out of New York, proudly serving New York's 17th district, member, financial committee, and House foreign GOP, husband, father, small businessman, former New York State Assemblyman. All right, good for him. I'm proud of the bill. Hold on. Don't say anything yet, Mike. We're not there. I'm proud of my bill, the Anti-Semitism Awareness Act, AAA. Just passed the House of Representatives 320-91. The bill has broad bipartisan support and will begin the process of cracking down on anti-Semitism we've seen run rampant on college campuses across America. You've seen lawlessness running rampant across campuses across America. It materializes in a great many ways, and right now it is turned into the meme of, it's the meme of protesting Israel, and somehow this should be done on campuses by occupying buildings and smashing windows and denying Jewish students the right to access campus based on some of the videos. Why I'm not chiming in too much on this, I don't know how much of it is exaggerated, the way the violence on January 6th was exaggerated to define a moment that wasn't necessarily or ought not have been defined by violence. I don't know how much is being used exaggerated, the same way that Nazi flag up in the Ottawa trucker protest was used to malign. You know, if these kids are protesting on fields, and I've seen a lot of the video, but if they're protesting on fields, hey, ho, ho, whatever, fine. When they start breaking windows and occupying buildings, even the January 6ers who did that should suffer the reasonable proportionate consequences. All right. So I'd say that it's lawlessness, not specifically anti-Semitism. And right now the lawlessness is materializing as anti-Semitism. In 2020, it was lawlessness that materialized itself as burning the shit down because they were angry at what they thought was a racial injustice that actually wasn't. Okay, let's hear what Mike Lawler has to say.
Hey everyone, it's Congressman Mike Lawler. I just want to say how proud I am that my bill, the Anti-Semitism Awareness Act, just passed the House of Representatives 320 votes to 91. This bill has broad bipartisan support and will begin the process of cracking down on the anti-Semitism that we've seen run rampant on college campuses all across America. This is a big day and a big win. Now we got to get it through the Senate and signed into law. I look forward to working to get this across the finish line. Hey everyone, now, it's Congress.
At the risk of being called, I'll close this. I'll give everybody the tweet there. At the risk of being called a number of names, my first question is always going to be, this is a nice new law that you're trying to pass here. What dearth or non-existence of a law is this intending to satisfy? What absence of law does this now rectify? Are the existing laws not enough to deal with exactly what this purported law purports to cover? Now, it's a very interesting thing, and actually people have to appreciate this. The answer to that is going to be typically, no, this law actually does give more power that doesn't currently exist under the law. That's going to be the answer. That's going to be the wrong answer if the power that it gives under this new proposed law is actually not power that should be given to the state. The question is asked in the sense of, do we not have existing laws to address the problems, the purported problems, or the problems that serve as the basis for this law? The answer to that under this is going to be no. Many of you rightly pointing out in Rumble, breaking windows, already a law, or already a crime. Vandalism, already a crime. Harassment, criminal harassment, already a crime. What does this bill seek to do? Oh, it seeks to do something that's not already illegal. It seeks to criminalize constitutionally protected speech. Don't trust me. Well, you're going to trust me because I did my homework. We'll get there in a second. When we asked about that border bill, remember the so-called bipartisan bullshit border bill? Call that the BBBS. That's like triple bullshit. It's the bipartisan border bill bullshit. 3BS, whatever. When I asked the question there, it's like, okay, this border bill, which is the strongest border bill ever, it's going to secure it. What does it offer that doesn't already exist by way of securing the border? It offered a couple of things that didn't already exist in terms of securing the border, one of which was giving exclusive jurisdiction to the courts of D.C. to adjudicate on any border issue involving a state. It's true, Biden didn't have that power, nor should he have that power. What other powers did it ratify? It basically legalized up to 5,000 illegal immigrants crossing a border illegally a day. That power also didn't currently exist and shouldn't exist. Everything else, Biden has executive authority to do what's necessary for the border. What does this bill seek to do? Well, it wants to criminalize hate. Oh, hate speech. It wants to criminalize harassment. Okay, that's already criminalized. It wants to criminalize what we're seeing on campus. So that's already criminalized. Okay, hold on. Where is the bill? I got the bill. I got you. Look at this. It's also what I love is it's not that long, so I could actually read it. HR 6090. Let me just make sure it's the right one. We look up here. It's Rep. Lawler introduced. I'm not sure. Maybe it's not the most up-to-date version because it looks like it was introduced on October 26, 2023. To provide for the consideration of a definition of anti-Semitism set forth in the International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance for the enforcement of federal anti-discrimination laws concerning education programs or activities and for other purposes. It seems to me that you already have a Civil Rights Act. I think, where was the interesting thing here? Here we go, let's see. It is the sense of Congress, that sense of Congress, okay. The Anti-Semitism Awareness Act of 2020, maybe they have another one for 2024 and maybe I didn't get the most recent version. Doesn't matter, for the all intents and purposes, this is gonna be the good one. Here, prohibits discrimination on the basis of race. So you got Title 9 of the Civil Rights Act. No, that's Title 6, sorry. Of the Civil Rights Act, prohibits discrimination on the basis of race, color, national origin. Okay, fine. So we got a law there. While such title does not cover discrimination based solely on religion, individuals who face discrimination based on actual perceived shared ancestry or ethnic characteristics do not lose protection under such a title for also being a member of a group of a shared common religion. Okay. Discrimination against Jews may give rise to a violation of such title when discrimination is based on race, color, or national origin, which can include discrimination based on perceived or shared ancestry. It is the policy of the United States to enforce such title against prohibited forms of discrimination rooted in anti-Semitism. Does it not cover religious discrimination? The Civil Rights Act? Okay, here, let's go here. I want to go down findings. Anti-Semitism is on the rise in the United States and is impacting Jewish students in K-12, kindergarten through 12 schools, colleges, and universities. You know what else is on the rise also in America? Anti-Asian crime. But forget you know, statistically who's committing that crime. We don't want to get into trouble. Anti-Asian crime is on the rise. Apparently, if we believe what they're telling us, transphobic crime is also on the rise. It's an amazing thing. How about, just floating this out here, crime is on the rise. Just a crazy idea. How about when crime is on the rise, people become the victims of crime? Anti-Semitism crime is on the rise. Okay. Asian-motivated hate crimes are on the rise. Transphobic, allegedly, on the rise. There's some discussion exactly as to where the violence in the trans community comes from, but set that aside as well. I might say that, you know, some anti-white hate crimes are on the rise. It's an amazing thing. Crime is on the rise. But let's just focus on anti-Semitism as a crime, and let's go to protect the Jewish community specifically, as though we should, you know, give more protection to one group and not just protect society as a whole. I'm an old school man. On December 11, whatever we got here, okay, the 2018 definitions, for the purposes of this act, the term definition of anti-Semitism means the definition of anti-Semitism adopted on May 26, 2016 by the IHRA, which is the International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance. We're going to get there, people. So they want to adopt the definition of anti-Semitism in that IRHA, which we're going to pull up in a second, which has been adopted by the Department of State and includes, listen to this, contemporary examples of anti-Semitism. Okay, that's all we needed to see. I keep saying I'm going to give you all the links and then I don't give you the links. So hold on a second. So they want to adopt the definition of anti-Semitism in the IHRA, and they want to include contemporary link. What is this one? Is this the tweet? That's the Lawler's tweet. Okay, in the chat here, and I'll give it to locals. And I'll give the link to this piece of legislation. And I saw the question, who decides? No, we're going to get there. So they want to have the definition of anti-Semitism, but also it's the very, very important one. It should include the contemporary examples of anti-Semitism. Okay, I got this now. Here, boom, boom. Bada bing, bada boom. Wait until you see the contemporary examples of anti-Semitism. Quote Adam Sandler, it will blow your freaking mind. Someone put out a tweet in response to Mike Lawler's, praising his relentless infringement on the fear of infringement on constitutionally protected speech. And they said, I'm a New Yorker. I'm against anti-Semitism, but for real, what the fuck are you doing? Are you trying to have Christians like me jailed? Between open borders, high inflation, and crime, don't you have better things to do? Now, I see this thing, but this is how neurotic you can't trust anything on the internet. It looks kind of like a, like it's being passed off as an original document. And it looks like someone's holding it on the left, but it looks like it's typed. And I can't figure this out. Okay, anti-Semitism is a certain perception of Jews which may be expressed as hatred towards Jews. Rhetorical or physical manifestations of anti-Semitism are directed toward Jewish or non-Jewish individuals and or their property toward Jewish community, institutions, religious faith. Here we go. And they've highlighted using symbols and images associated with classic anti-Semitism, e.g. claims of Jews killing Jesus or blood libel to characterize Israel or Israelis. Now, I see this and I think, holy cows, I can't trust anything you see on the internet. And I don't even go by the trust but verify. I just go with the verify. It's a lot easier. You skip a step. So I went to pull up the IHRA document, and this is what we got. Understood. Okay. This is from the IHRA. I presume this is the right thing. And if I made a mistake, please someone correct me. The International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance. Working definition of anti-Semitism. Read the full text of the IHRA's non-legally binding working definition of anti-Semitism. It's non-legally binding until a Mike Lawler passes it into law. Then it becomes legally binding. Our definition's working at adoption of the following non-binding working definition of anti-Semitism. Anti-Semitism is a certain perception of Jews which may be expressed as hatred towards Jews. Can you imagine, you tell people you can't, I mean, I know it's a terrible thing, you shouldn't hate, but can you imagine telling someone you can't hate someone, or you can hate them, but you can't say that you hate them? It's weird. First of all, I want to know who the people are out there that hate Jews as a blanket group. I want to know who the people out there that hate blacks as a blanket group, as if you can hate categorically everyone of a certain group. I mean, it's an amazing thing. I want to know who they are. Certainly, if someone says, look, I hate Jews, in their CV, I may choose not to select them as a babysitter. If they said I hate blacks, I probably would not choose them as a babysitter. So I would like them to, you know, let us know. And so long as what you do is say it and don't do anything about it. I mean, and also hatred doesn't even necessarily mean you want to cause violence. It might mean, look, you hate cottage cheese. I'm not going to go to the grocery store and start smashing it on the ground. You don't have to make, okay, fine. Anti-Semitism, rhetorical and physical manifest. So this is exactly what we saw in that document. But then here we go. Contemporary examples of anti-Semitism in public life, the media, schools, the workplace, because they want to include this in that bill. It's in the bill. Calling for, aiding, or justifying the killing of harming of Jews in the name of a radical ideology or an extremist view or religion. Let me just ask you, I'm just a stupid former Quebec attorney. I'm fairly certain calling for the killing of somebody, if it's a true threat under the Brandenburg definition, it's already illegal. I'm pretty sure about that. I'm fairly certain aiding in the killing of someone is already illegal. Justifying the killing is a weird one. I'm not sure that that's illegal. I'm not sure that the government should control that aspect of speech to say that was justified or not. I mean, also, it might prevent legitimate public debate. I mean, I can't imagine a circumstance here, but okay, so that's one. By the way, also, it says it wants to outlaw calling for, aiding, or killing in the Jews or harming their name in the name of a radical ideology. So can it be done if it's not in the name of a radical ideology? It's a weird caveat. Seems like you might have just wanted to stop the sentence there, if I'm just, you know, being critical. Making mendacious, dehumanizing. What the hell does that mean? Demonizing. What does that mean? Stereotypical allegations about Jews as such, or the power of Jews as collective. So can we say that there's a statistical overrepresentation of Jews who have won Nobel Peace Prizes? Would that be... Oh, no, wait a minute. Hold on. Would that be typical anti-Semitism? Such as, especially but not exclusively, the myth about world Jewish conspiracy or the Jews controlling the media, economy, government, or other social institutions. Can't say that. Making mendacious... This is so wild. They want to include this so that it should be illegal. To make mendacious, dehumanizing, demonizing, or stereotypical allegations about Jews. Well, pretty much every Mel Brooks movie is going to become illegal. You morons. Oh, Lordy. You guys know who Mel Brooks is, I presume. Accusing Jews as a people of being responsible for real or imagined wrongdoing committed by a single Jewish person or group, or even for acts committed by non-Jews? Denying the fact, scope, mechanisms, or intentionally of the genocide of the Jewish people at the hands of the Nazis, okay? Accuse the Jews as people or Israel as a state of inventing or exaggerating the Holocaust. I mean, this is wonderful. You pass a law like this, it's good. It will certainly quell anti-Semitism. It will certainly quell some of the above sought restricted speech. But it gets even more absurd, actually. Here we go. Okay, no, this one. Accusing Jewish citizens of being more loyal to Israel. You cannot do that. This would be outlawed in New York if Mike Lawler's motion goes through. And you will not hear me say, as a Jew, I don't even think. No, as a reasonable person with half a brain, the fact that I am Jewish makes my opinion no more legitimate than someone else's. And it makes someone else's opinion no less legitimate than mine. You can be from India and read this and say, how the hell do you think this is going to stifle anti-Semitism? You're telling me that I can't accuse a Jewish citizen of being more loyal to Israel than to another country? Why? Who the hell do you think you are? Can we do it to a Frenchman? Can I say like Jean-Luc Picard? Well, Jean-Luc Picard is not French. Let's think of the other guy. What's the guy's name? The classic, Gérard Depardieu. Can I accuse Gérard Depardieu of being more loyal to La France than to America? That's fine. But I can't accuse, I don't know, I can't even think of an example. It's so stupid. I mean, it's beyond words stupid. Accusing Jewish citizens of being more loyal to Israel or to the Jewish citizens, not necessarily Israeli citizens. Okay, that might be the catch there. Or to the alleged priorities of Jews worldwide than to the interests of their own nations. That's weird. What about dual citizens? Denying the Jewish people their right to self-determination by claiming that the existence of the state of Israel is a racist endeavor. So you can't even debate whether or not the state of Israel should exist. Can you deny whether or not the province of Quebec should exist? Or whether or not the country of Canada should exist? I mean, it's applying double standards by requiring of it a behavior not expected or demanded of any other democratic nation. What the hell does this even mean? This is the one that got using the symbols and images associated with classic anti-Semitism, e.g., claims of Jews killing Jesus or blood libel to characterize Israel or Israelis. You can no longer draw comparisons of contemporary Israeli policy with the Nazis. You can't. I mean, this is what Michael Lawler wants to put into law in New York and expects it to help the Jewish community. I've been telling you something. If Mike Lawler was a mole who's undeclared, surreptitious goal was to exacerbate anti-Semitism and bring hatred and scorn on the Jewish community of New York and at large, this is exactly how you do it. So I verified. And that's what they want to put into law in New York. Absolute wild. All right, and that's it. That's that for the evidence. That's coming out of New York State. Now, we see two super chats over in the Rumble section over here. We got Andy Pearson says, I want equal protection under this new infringement of the First Amendment, F hate crime, and other bovine excrement laws. And speaking of the exact opposite of bovine excrement, but it comes from bovine because it is bovine, King of Biltong in the house. Good afternoon from Anton's Meat and Eat. Free shipping of your Biltong using code VIVA for a $30 Rumble rant. www.biltongusa.com. www.antonusa.com. Biltong is perfect for your carnivore, keto, and or high protein diet. It's delicious stuff. It's like soft beef jerky. So that's what's coming out of New York. Not going to make anything better whatsoever. It's only going to make things worse. Predictably so, or at the very least, you ought to have seen that coming. So, but while we're talking about classical anti-Semitism, was it classical anti-Semitism? And apparently, you know, there was an entire debate as to whether or not saying Christ is king is anti-Semitic. And I took the position that, no, it's not. And that's a ridiculous thing to say. And then someone will says, well, the Groypers come around and they go in your face and they say, Christ is king, Christ is king. I was like, all right, so you're not talking about the words anymore. You're talking about the person. And that person can literally come up to you and say, I love you. And you'll know that they're not being sincere, in which case it's not the words. whatsoever. It's the person and the intent, in which case there's absolutely in and of itself nothing wrong with saying Christ is king, especially for those who believe it. But there were accusations that now Candace Owens was anti-Semitic and was calling the folks at the Daily Wire names and attacking them in a way that made her anti-Semitic. Okay. And then they parted ways, and then there was some chicanery and some poo-poo hitting the fan. And I'm looking for here. There goes they, the people at the Daily Wire, or at least the general public, were accusing Candace Owens of being anti-Semitic. There was discussion about holding a debate. We're going to debate this issue about Israel and Palestine and all this stuff. And, you know, the Daily Wire said, we're going to do the debate, do it Monday. And Candace is like, I can't do it Monday. I'm overseas and you know that. So this is stupid. And they say, do it at our studios. And she says, I'm not doing it at your studios. This is stupid. Let's find a neutral ground. And, you know, they say, like, oh, look at that. We offer her a debate and she declines. Glenn Greenwald put out, I call it a banger of a release. Let me see here. He put out a banger of a piece today. This is on his locals.com. Glenn Greenwald. Hold on, let me refresh. Greenwald.locals.com. As the Daily Wire publicly negotiated a debate with Candace Owens, it secretly sought and obtained a gag order against her. Due to a prior restraint order against Owens, the much-anticipated Israel debate with Ben Shapiro appears to be off. Glenn Greenwald, 3 hours ago. I won't go through the whole thing. Everybody should go and check it out for yourselves. The bottom line of this, and again, I engage in do not trust and verify in as much as you can, but if Glenn Greenwald is making this assertion, I'm not going to trust Glenn Greenwald as a human, but I do. But I'm going to trust that Glenn Greenwald, knowing what he knows about journalism, would not. He has to have verified and vetted his sources and has the information, because apparently this stems from an arbitration dispute or a dispute that was submitted to arbitration, and they're not, you know, they're not public like court hearings. That's why people go to arbitration. So you're not going to go to like a docket and look for this arbitration and find it. Here, link to Locals article. And I'll bring it back up in a second. I just wanted to close the window to share it with everybody. And I think I shared it with Locals already. Here, boom. And don't close the screen. Let me open this up. Present. So yeah, this comes from, not the right one, shared post. Here we go. Apparently he got knowledge that there were arbitration proceedings that were initiated by Daily Wire to compel, you know, enforcement of a non-disparagement clause in the contract that Daily Wire had with Candace Owens. And they presumably had a contract that presumably provided for arbitration so that they could arbitrate their legal issues privately without having everybody, you know, go through the court proceedings the way they always do when they're public. That's the benefit of arbitration. Let me just see where it was that he put that word in here. Okay. But the debate was never going to happen. That is because the Daily Wire, in secret and unbeknownst to its readers, sought a gag order. Now I got to get this out of here. Sought a gag order to be placed on Owens after she called for the debate. They did this under the cover of secrecy before a private arbitrator at the exact same time they were claiming that in public that they wanted to debate and were even negotiating the terms with her. To this date, the Daily Wire has not informed its readers seeking to understand why the much anticipated debate had not yet happened that they sought and obtained a gag order against Candace Owens. Okay. So that's what we need to know from go read the article, because it's a good article and I don't want to read the entire thing because then you won't go read the article. Arbitration, they go, they say, we've got a non-disparagement clause. She's calling us, implying that, I don't actually know the specific accusations or what, you know, Candace is even alleged to have said. Apparently she's harding tweets or retweeting tweets, not even harding, liking tweets or harding. I don't know. Harding doesn't necessarily mean liking. Tweets that are critical of the Daily Wire. So they say she's disparaging us. She's insulting us. She's maligning us in our contract, which is submitted to arbitration. We have a non-disparagement clause. So gag her so that she can't say anything disparaging. I will steel man the Daily Wire's position, as I did on Twitter, as I did in our VivaBarnesLaw.locals.com community. They're going to come out and say, look, she's free to debate, and we still want this debate to happen. She's just not free to disparage. So come and have the discussion, but don't call me a Zionist. Don't call me loyal to the state of Israel more so than constitutional values. I don't even, is that disparagement? Who the hell knows? But they'll say, she can debate.
lively, healthily, openly, without disparaging. So there's nothing mutually incompatible with the gag order that we apparently sought and got, and Candace participating in a debate. She'll just have to weigh her words, which is a nice way to have a little bit of a leg up in the debate. But that's the breaking news. I mean, this is why it's drama. It's dirty infighting. I don't like it, but it is what it is. Now I'm reading the chat here. Okay, I can't read half of the comments going on in the Rumble section. So that's what's going on with the Daily Wire. Candace Owens. I would love to interview Candace Owens or even, you know, Ben Shapiro's in the neighborhood. Something tells me they don't like me, but I don't know why. And that might just be a chip on my shoulder, but I would interview any of them and or all of them. In fact, I could even host the debate, but I don't think they would think I'm neutral, nor would they think Patrick Bet-David is neutral. Eric Hunley would be neutral. Tim Pool, I don't know. Tim Pool could be kind of neutral because he's got one radically anti-Israel person on staff, and he sort of seems to be pretty pro-Israel. Whatever. Oh, this infighting and this catfighting. So I'm going to go to tipped comments and cleanse the palate a little bit. Bill Brown, $3 tip, says they keep honest people honest, nothing more. Now, I don't know what that is in relation to. Mandalici says, I do hope everyone... Okay, we got that. Let's go into the comment section of Viva Barnes Law. Ben proving why he and DW are scum, says USA Now. I defended the Daily Wire in the Steven Crowder dispute because I think I'm not a fan of recording and releasing, you know, in the absence of an absolute dire emergency to release private surreptitious recordings. Plus, I've seen those types of contracts that Daily Wire was asking Crowder to sign. And like, okay, I've seen them and you don't have to sign it if you don't like it. I don't think it's, you know, a evil Con Inc. thing. That was my personal opinion and everyone was free to disagree. This seems dirty, but what do I know? How about a stop whining clause, says Tony DeMarco. Okay, so what do we got here? We got Viva. Look what I found. What is this? Oh boy, okay. I'm not playing that video. Sorry, that's on locals, so I don't even know what that is. But if you're in our locals community, you could have seen what I just saw. Let me just see. I'll ask for more context. USA Now, what was that? Is that a video of the USA Now in the chat? Is that a video of the kid who shot the teacher? I mean, that was not a video of anyone getting shot, but is that the kid who shot? There was a 6-year-old kindergarten kid who shot his teacher, Amy. Zwerber, I think, was her last name. Okay. Anyhow, let me know, USA Now, if that video was evidence as to the culpability of the mother in that case where a 6-year-old kid brought a gun to school and shot his teacher. Okay, we'll cleanse our palate with something funny. Why did you make me watch that video? Like, no, nothing violent happened in the video. That's just very sad, and that's terrible what I just saw. Let's have a laugh. Oh, God. I look at this guy's face, and I just want to vomit. This is Greg Fergus. You all see, this is coming out of Canada, where Pierre Poilievre referred to Justin Trudeau's policies as wacko. He called Trudeau wacko with wacko policies. And this smug, like if you were to look up the definition of smug, arrogant pomposity, and apparently there's some scandal brewing with this because apparently there's some falsifying documentation. I haven't seen the full scandal yet. This is Greg Fergus, the Speaker of the House of Commons, the man who was hired to replace the man who resigned because he invited a Nazi to Parliament and everybody clapped and cheered. This guy's an ethics breaching political hack. Everybody knows this. Let's just watch this.
One last time. So please withdraw that comment and simply withdraw that comment.
Arrogant pomposity.
I simply withdraw and replace
makes me
with
want to puke. This is like the exact opposite of palate cleansing.
I have to name you for disregarding the authority of the chair. Pursuant to the authority granted to me by Standing Order 11, I order you to withdraw from the House and from any participation by video conference for the remainder of this day's sitting.
This face.
One last time.
One last time. Look at that face. Look at dead eyes. I mean, he kind of looks like Pepe the Frog Beam a little bit, but that face exudes repulsiveness. One last time. I'm telling you what to say. Let me put words in your mouth. Let me take words out of your mouth, and then let me expel you. So they kicked out Pierre Poilievre for the day. It's nothing serious at all. It's just a stupid talking point that they can run with in the media. Now that we've cleansed our palate from anything related to discussion that I hate. Okay. Speaking of discussion that I hate, Kristi Noem doesn't know when to just, you know... Discussion that I hate involves shooting dogs. No, I'm not jumping on this joke here. I'm bringing this up because one of my brothers said something, a wise piece of advice. Here, take Kristi Noem out here. We all step in shit every now and again. This is a metaphor, people, but bear with me. We all step in shit because sometimes you're not looking where you're going. Sometimes shit just happens and you step in shit. When you step in shit, the thing that you don't do is go running around your house, jumping on your bed, you know, kicking your pillow. When you step in shit, you stop, you take your shoe off, and you clean it off before doing anything else to stop spreading that shit around. Sometimes we step in shit through our own faults. Like we write a book and we brag about how we shot our dog because it was a 14-month-old dog that was misbehaving. And instead of training, finding a new home, we swiftly take the dog who we also admit that we hate, take it over to a pit, shoot it, and throw it into a pit. Now, I appreciate, I just saw a video of this morning, which also I did not want to see, in Ian Miles Chung. I don't know why he puts these videos without a warning of pit bulls going down the street. I think it was in Maryland or Chicago, attacking people, and then cops have to kill the dog. Even though that dog needed to be killed, it makes me sick to look at. There's circumstances. There's financial circumstances. I can understand some people will shoot a dog. I'm of the opinion, take the extra hours and the splurge the $100, take it to a vet and do it humanely, unless it's in the process of mauling somebody on the street. She bragged about it in her book, has taken nothing but, you know, justified flack for the last little while, but she's doubling down. Move on. Just never talk about it again.
Well, Sean, you know how the fake news works. They leave out some or most of the facts of a story. They put the worst spin on it. And that's what's happened in this case. I hope people really do buy this book and they find out the truth of this story. Because the truth of the story...
Hey, Kristi. When you're accused of being a dog murderer, the best thing to not do is also look like... I don't use the word grifter or shill, and I'm not going to use it now. I'm just going to say that some people might say, yeah, if you want to find out the truth about why I shot my dog, go buy my book. Oh my goodness, you're doing jumping jacks on your bed with your shitty shoes.
Is that this was a working dog and it was not a puppy.
A working dog? Then find it another working house.
It was a dog farm. That was extremely dangerous. It had come to us from a family who had found her way too aggressive. We were her second chance, and she the day she was put down was a day that she massacred livestock that were part of our neighbors. She attacked me.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to be mean. Massacred livestock. Oh my, just, you know, silence would have been better than this. Like if she had sat there for a minute and a half and just stared at the camera, like Frank T.J. Mackey out of Magnolia. Don't say anything. It would have been better than this. Massacred chickens.
And it was a hard decision. And the reason it's in the book is because this book is filled with tough, challenging decisions that I've had to make throughout my life. And I hope that people understand from this that what the point of this story is that most politicians...
If I don't like you, what the point is? If I don't like you and I think you're aggressive, I'm not going to say it.
They will run from the truth. They will shy away and hide from making tough decisions. I don't do either of those.
No, I take the dog out and blast it. I tell the truth and I make
tough decisions. People attacked me during COVID for keeping my state open. They called me wrong and attacked me night after night on TV for not doing mandates and not forcing people to get vaccines.
Then I immediately thought back to my dog and what I would have done with those people if I could, eh? Oh my goodness.
Wear masks. They're doing it again now with this. I just hope people will read the book, find out the truth, because this was a dangerous animal. And I had a choice between keeping my small children and other people safe or a dangerous animal. And I chose the safety of my children.
You know, I was shocked when we learned that Joe Biden, and he has a German Shepherd, that when all was said and done, 24 Secret Service agents were bitten by a German Shepherd, by a big dog.
Yeah, some people are going to say, well, I don't know much about Kristi Noem. I know what I think about her politically. And so, you know, if there's a silver lining to her, I thought I closed it down again. If there's a silver lining to her political misfortune, it's that she won't be Trump's VP pick at this point. Because I don't think puppy killer, the dog wasn't a puppy. I don't think dog killer is a good pick for a VP. So in as much as I politically think I don't like her, the only silver lining is she won't be the pick of the candidate. Some people are saying, you know, Biden should have put Commander down after he bit Secret Service agents 24 times. And there's idiots out there who I don't think realize they probably did put him down. As I would say would be understandable when a dog is that aggressive. Ask yourself why the dog is that aggressive. And I know this is a double-edged sword because it's not always the case. But sometimes if you mistreat a dog, it'll behave badly. Sometimes you just have a dog that behaves badly. But yeah, Commander, unless someone can show me proof of life, the Democrats who are flipping out at Kristi Noem for euthanizing her dog don't seem to understand when they show the pictures of Joe Biden with his dogs. I think he euthanized Commander. And unless I see proof of life, I'm going to continue to believe that. Okay, what else we got here? We got this. Okay, we got Caitlin Collins within the same week. Let me see. I think we're almost good. I'm going to make sure that we save some good stuff for our locals after party. I'm going to save something super good for the locals after party. You're all going to have to come and see it if you want. What do we got here? Oh, God. Okay, no, we're going to end on this on Rumble. And then we're going to go over to the locals after party and have some fun there because we got good stuff. Ending the show. But I'm supposed to say, take Alex Jones's advice. You don't announce you're ending the show. Everybody, come on over to vivabarneslaw.locals.com. Hold on a second here. Cadino Drive or Cadino DR says, obviously Joe Biden's German Shepherds were drug sniffing dogs and they attack people carrying drugs. Okay, that's a joke. Biden was jealous of Commander sniffing people. If the dog is aggressive, that's your fault. You are a failure at training your dog. And I think you, okay, well, that's an interesting opinion. David, she grew up a farmer. Kristi Noem is a hot killer. How dare you shoot your aggressive dog, but totally crush your unborn. Okay, Viva, like your show. Thank you, says Mayanna. We're going to end on this fantastic clip here because occasionally I'm going to bed and I come across something. It's like, holy crap, I remember something that I just saw. We spent a little bit of time dissecting Joe Biden licking. No, I'm sorry. It's the other way around. Howard Stern, not licking, kissing. I would say licking, but kissing Joe Biden's butt. In the most, it was like that meme of the guy like, you know, putting the boot in his mouth, like lovingly caressing the boot while he licks it. And that was what Howard Stern did to Joe Biden in the only clips I'm watching from that disgusting interview. This one, I remembered.
We're lucky to have you in the Oval Office and serving as the father of the country, because if you're a good father to your family, which you are, I know you'd be a good father to the country.
Stop. By the way, look at the way Joe Biden has no idea where the hell he is. And look what he's doing to the microphone.
You're a good father to your family, which you are. I know you'd be a good father to the country.
Stop. Now, I got something sent to me via DM, and it was Mamala. What was it? It was Drew Barrymore looking utterly psychotic, talking to Kamala and saying, we need a Mamala.
But in our country, we need you to be Mamala of the country.
Yeah. She looks tortured. What is that face? So I'm sitting there, it's like, what the hell is going on? We got Joe Biden, daddy of the country, and Mamala of the country. I'm going to play it one time through without talking.
We're lucky to have you in the Oval Office and serving as the father of the country, because if you're a good father to your family, which you are, I know you'd be a good father to the country.
But in our country, We need you to be Mamala of the country.
We're lucky to have you in the Oval Office and serving as the.
There is a communist principle that a father or a parent's love for their child is irrational, but the state's love for the child is rational, which is why the state is more justified in controlling and rearing children than the irrational loving parents. The idea that there's a father of a nation, I mean, I know it goes back and you're going to have the founding fathers and maybe there's a little hypocritical. Yep. The idea that they would say Joe Biden is our daddy and Kamala Harris is our mommy. It's so effing disgusting. And then to say we need a Mamala Harris or Mamala Harris, or whatever the hell, the mom of the country. I don't mean to say that, parents who adopt children are less parents than parents who deliver children. Not. I'm not saying that parents who adopt as a matter of unifying families are less parents. I'm not. Kamala Harris has no kids. Kamala Harris has no kids of her own. Now, she happens to have had, she married that guy, Ehrenhoff. She happens to have married him and, have a formed family. She came into that family when, I think, doing my math, those kids were 13 and 18. So the woman that Drew Barrymore, using the exact same terminology of Howard Stern, a mama of the country, is talking to a woman who's never had children of her own and by and large didn't even have to raise children through childhood. What she would know about being a parent, I have no bloody idea. Take daddy of the country, Joe Biden. I know you're a good father because I know you'd be a good father for the country because you're a good father. Has a daughter who claims that he showered with her, that she felt that she was molested, that she writes it in a diary and leaves it, abandons it, ostensibly, I would say, to get back at her father who she blames for that. Has a son. And I don't blame the, always a misbehaving dog on the owner. And I won't blame, the tragedy of certain people's outcome necessarily say it's related to parenting. Sometimes, however, you can potentially see patterns over time. Joe Biden has got a daughter who says he showered with her. She felt molested. She was sexualized at a young age. Has a son who turns out to be a crackhead womanizer at best. And these are the two people that these idiot washed up hacks of has-been celebrities want to be my parents. Oh, no, thank you. You can keep them. You can keep them. I don't want them. And the fact that they're doing it in tandem, like just coincidentally. So Howard Stern's audience, the father of America. Drew Barrymore's audience, Kamala Harris. We're being told that we're a bunch of infants. We're children who need to be governed like children by our new parents, our de facto new parents. All right. Let's do it. Head on over to vivabarneslaw.locals.com. Bada bing, bada boom. Let's see what we got in the chat here. Tom Green came from a normal family. He knows crazy. Oh, someone said Tom Green turned woke. Tom Green with his interview with Howard Stern. Tom Green admitted dodging a bullet with that weirdo. I don't know who we're talking about here. I saw Tom Green or heard him on Howard Stern, and I was not impressed with his knowledge of stuff. We got Zolzhenitsyn laughingly called Stalin dear father, says Hoppity Hooper. Kamala and Biden should knock. There's a rumor that Kamala is. Okay, I'm not saying that. I'm not reading that. And she slept her way. She slept her way to rise for power. I know of the allegations against her. Yeah. Okay. Chad Four says, evil people instinctively support other evil people. All right, let's go into Viva Barnes Law and go to the tip and see if we have anything in here. Oh, Crash Bandit sent a $1 tip. He says, did they have to go through a struggle session to parrot those things about the head sniffer and chief and commie law? It's wild. Okay, let's go over to vivabarneslaw.locals.com. If you're not, oh my goodness, guys, Norm Pattis is coming on tomorrow. I'm such an idiot. Norm Pattis.
Alex Jones's attorney, January 6th attorney, is coming on at, we said, 2 o'clock, but let me just confirm. Bada bing, bada boom. Norm Pattis is on at 2 o'clock tomorrow. Dr. Chris Martinson is on the 8th at 11 o'clock. And we got some good stuff coming. So that is what is going on. Tom Green and Drew Barrymore deserved each other. Both idiots. Oh, that's how Tom Green came into the discussion. And then so that was from Latchkey Monk. And then we got Sir Dirty Dog says Tom Green is an Ottawa-born moron. Yeah, he didn't support the trucker protest. The guy who, you know, doesn't matter. Okay, done. People, we're going to end on Rumble. Come on over to vivabarnslaw.locals.com. And if you're not, I will see all of you tomorrow for the interview with Norm Pattison. It's going to be amazing. We did something on Eric Hunley's Freeform Friday or whatever the noon show is. And I like Norm, even if I'm going to disagree with it on some things, but he's good. 2 o'clock tomorrow. Ending the stream on Rumble, coming on over to vivabarnslaw.locals.com. Bada bing. All right, locals, let's see what we got in the chat here. Chris is good too. Yep. Hi, Norm. That's Mighty Pay. Sammy, well, shit, now I'll have to watch tomorrow, says Michigan Winter Days. Oh, goody, Norm, says Annie of the Seas. Will someone smarter than me be willing to turn the gag face Viva made into a gif, please, says N. Spence. Oh, here you go, Viva, to cleanse your palate from the other vid, Tyler Fisher. So hold on. Okay, now that we're in the chat, that other video, do I play it? There's nothing bad about it. I just don't understand what I was looking at. And I don't think I have it anymore. No, I still have it. Share screen. No, you know what? I don't know what this video is. I can't share it. Remove. I don't know what the video is. If someone tell me what the video is. Is it public information? USA Now. Tom Green is a creep, says In the Belfry. It's classic communist tripe. The state tyrants should be your father, your mother. Yep. Kamila. If Biden is the father of anything. Okay, we got a beautiful dog. Adopt me, says Mantalici. It's a beautiful dog. We are not on the market for another dog just yet. Random video says Mighty Pay. If Biden, okay, we got already saw it. OMG and CIA. Mantalici, we watched it yesterday. We talked about it. Most people from Ottawa are morons, says In the Belfry. Really would love to have James Lindsay on. I think I reached out to him and I think he said yes. And I think I forgot to follow up. Hold on. James Lindsay. Okay, no, I'm an idiot. I hope he's not offended. I've been in touch with Lindsay. We're going to make it happen. So Lindsay will happen. Stop screen. Let's go over here. Chris is good too. Okay, now we're going to the bottom. She knows every three-year-old wanted freedom. Drew's been messed up since ET. Yeah, well, now that on the show of the Unusual Suspects yesterday, Corey Feldman, was it Corey Feldman or Corey Haim? It's Corey Feldman who's the one that's still alive. Was talking about how Corey Haim was talking about how Charlie Sheen allegedly violated him. And everybody on the set of this film, Lucas knew it. And it's, I have no doubt they traumatized and did awful, awful things to Drew Barrymore as a kid. I mean, whether or not she was drinking at 12 and doing drugs even earlier than that. James Lindsay rocks. But now hold on. USA Now, tell me what that video was of the kid who pulled the gun. Is that the kid who ended up shooting his teacher and the mother went to jail for it? Oh, wait, USA Now, I'm looking in the chat for that. And while that happens, I want to play my montage, which I think is genius. Lion advocacy, we got that. This. Bada bing, bada boom. Here we go. This is what If only it could have happened.
I'm going to ask the Honourable Leader of the Opposition to withdraw that term, which is not considered parliamentary.
Go fuck yourself.
One last time. To please withdraw that comment and simply withdraw that comment.
Go fuck yourself. Is that fair? I hope it is.
See, I'm not that good at memes, and that, you know, there's some editing that could have been smoother in there, but yeah, that gets the gist of what I wanted. Okay, so hold on, let me go back down here. And there's the link to the tweet if anybody wants to share it. Mandalici, don't let the CIA scandal die with all the other chaos going on. That is what is wrong with governments, non-elected associates controlling the real government. Mandalici, I'll keep it on blast. I'll do a car vlog on it today. Done. Those car vlogs tend to do well. Viva, the video of the kid is just a random video, not the kid who shot anyone. Okay, thank you. And I don't know where it came from. That kid, my God, it's so sad. No, because I thought for a second, Mighty Pay, that was some evidence that was submitted as relates to the six-year-old kid who shot his teacher, Amy Zwerber, who ended up suing the school. The mother went to jail. I think they were pressing criminal charges against the school. So I thought maybe that was evidence there. I'm not even sitting on my donut today. So there's that. Forbes videos on First Amendment censorship needs to be on blast. Forbes. Put it in the link, Russ. I haven't seen it. Viva Fry. Just got great news. My daughter just had a little boy. I am a granddad, healthy boy called Troy, says Hyphen. Congratulations. Hyphen, is it the first time becoming a grandfather? Troy is a good name. Yeah, that's nice. And get in on some of that diaper changing before the poo stops being that black tar that comes out. Because for anybody who doesn't know, when the baby's born, for like a week to a week and a half afterwards, as far as my memory goes, the poop is like just black tar because it's what the kid was eating in utero. And that poop doesn't smell like anything. It just looks, it feels almost like very wet slime. Then when the kid starts eating milk, the poo-poo starts smelling a little bit more like poo. And then when the kid starts eating like not just breast milk, that's when the poo starts stinking like maniac. And then let's see, I've had something else on the backdrop as well. Oh, I got to go fix the windshield of the car. I smashed it. I was just trying to put the kayak in. It's so wild, guys. I was going to go to this pond. It's down the street it's actually kind of far away. And I know that I've seen alligators there. And like, I want to fish. I wanted to do a live stream. I'll just have to do it like on one of the local ponds. And I'm like, should I do it? Should I not? You know, I'm going to get complicated, get too much sun. I put the kayak in the car. And then I go to slam the trunk thing, and the kayak slides back and just bumps into the window. And I thought I heard a noise. And I'm like, holy crap. So here's an anecdote. Talk about, like, I don't want to think too much of my divine intervention, whatever. I had a best friend. Oh, I have a best friend. He's my best friend who had a motorcycle. And I was like, dude, drop the freaking motorcycle. They are death traps. They're just, I know it's fun. They're just death traps. And then he has an accident. It's like, dude, what are you? Yeah, like a minor one. Like, I was like, dude, there's literally God is up there saying, okay, I'm going to teach you a lesson, but it's only going to be a separated shoulder. And so that's my lesson. Like, how many warnings do I give you? And he learned from that. He had a second, we had a small one. And then the shoulder's like, dude, it's time. Get rid of the motorbike. I know people love them. They're good. And anything that really requires you to pay attention to other people's stupidity in order to ensure your own survival is something that you should abandon. Okay, I'm going back down here. Viva meconium, that's what you call newborn poop. Should I pull up a picture? My son's friend died at 23 on a motorcycle, says Maria 36. Gateway, I mean, I don't know too many people who drive motorcycles. I mean, I certainly see a whole hell of a lot more now in Florida. They're in my milieu growing up, not many people had motorcycles. And, you know, Quebec is not the best place for motorcycles because you can't use them 8 months of the year. But I'm sorry about that, Maria. Mandalici, Gateway Pundit had a great article on fractal computing connecting Soros organizations to everything. I'll post the link in the locals community. Yeah, it's interesting. I had an argument with somebody where a troll, he says, where do you get your evidence that Soros funds Alvin Bragg? And I was like, here it is. New York Times, Soros funds a PAC, Color of Change, that gives the majority of that money to Bragg. It's like, oh, but that's not funding anything. I mean, I admittedly, at some point you're going to say, well, look, you know, you're not responsible for the way in which every dollar is spent through a PAC that you donate to, but sometimes you are. Macobium. Well, we don't need it. Someone who says, I thought it was Macobium. Sane Millennial says, I love you, Viva, in your genuineness and critical thinking skills. Thank you very much. Got behind on the stream as I had to do work stuff, but loving what you're saying about the anti-Semitism laws. Oh, it's just so obvious. I mean, it's like, can you imagine, like, in the law, I think I read it in the preamble. It says, we want to provide safety for the Jewish community. I'm like, oh, hey, here's an idea. Provide safety for community, period. Stop smashing windows. Ugh. The windshield was not as, that didn't upset my stomach. Like, my immediate reaction was, okay, that's God telling me. That's better than an alligator chomping down on my arm. But when I forgot to latch down the soft top and I'm driving down glades and the thing flops up, then my stomach was pulled out of my butt because I thought I destroyed the car, but I didn't. Did we ever find out who delivered all those pallets of bricks during the Summer of Love? No, do we find out? I think we found out who's preparing those documents that tell people how to migrate through the across the southern border. It was 2 years ago. Parents ended up divorcing. People don't look out for bikers. Also, parents ended up divorcing. Like, when you have tragedy like that, it destroys, it breaks families. It breaks people. Mandalici says, Florida on a motorcycle is a death wish. Too many old drivers that can't see. Plus the amount of motorcycles that I see out here who are not wearing helmets. Oh my goodness. Like, you just need to hear the soft, I want to say moist thump of a head hitting concrete to never want to hear that sound again. But I don't know. People riding motorcycles, especially where I live, which is like OJ town, and I'm not talking OJ Simpson, I'm talking like old Jewish town. I mean, they're old, okay? They're not even necessarily Jewish. There's like old French Canadians. And I live in an old neighborhood. To ride around on a motorcycle without a helmet, I mean, you're taking chances. You are begging to meet your maker. Riding a motorcycle without a helmet is one of the last vestiges of pure freedom, Joe Maskew. I agree. But I don't even ride a freaking, I mean, I won't exaggerate. I started riding my push scooter without a helmet, but I don't ride my bike without a helmet. Unfortunately, I've seen the results of motorcycle accidents in the ER mid. Oh, it's just, I know that they call them organ donors because you smash your head up and you're brain dead and your body's still good for something. So yeah, that's that. Now, hold on. I did have something else in the backdrop here. Get questions in, not even necessarily tipped questions. Caitlin, okay, I brought this one up already. So let me hold on. Let me just make sure I got through everything on the backdrop. Lion advocacy. Boom, okay. And what do we got here? Pierre Poiliev gets expelled. Oh, yes, we got everything. Oh, that's the longer video. So that's it, guys. We've done everything. Get some questions in here. We'll do a little. Would anyone be interested? I won't do it in gator infested waters. I'll do it where I can put the kayak on a skateboard and drag it down the street. Would anyone be interested in a Viva fry fishing? Ooh, that could be fun. Like we'll do a locals AMA. Stop smashing. Okay, we can do a locals AMA from a kayak. Neurodivergent says, David, could post Joe's give, send, go? I'm going to go post it right now. 25,000? Here, I'll post it right to locals. Why do I have so many notification? Link to the following pros give, send. It is a give, send, go, right? I don't have the window open because I ain't. Give, send, go for his legal battle to ungag the Trump. Bum, bada bing, bada boom. But it's give, send, go. It's give, send, go. Okay, done. Done and done. Thank you. Hold on. Let me see where I was now. Yes, Viva would be interested in fishing AMA. Okay, done. We're going to do it. I'm just going to have to do it where I... I really smashed the window. And it's like, it's broken. The inside is still smooth. The outside has like shards. Watching you from Smollett, the Smollett car vlogs, to where you are today with Barnes, how have you liked your journey? I could never have imagined it in a million years. Never in a million years would I think I would have ever left my country as one thing, but moved to Florida as another thing, and look the way I look as another thing, and be driving a Bronco. Like, it's like, I grew up with you know, people who drove Broncos were the were Bud. What was his name? Buck. No, it wasn't Buck. Pal. It was Pal from Uncle Buck. Got me a brand new Bronco out in the back. Red. Like, that's, I grew up with stereotypes of a lot of things. Never in a million years. It's been amazing. It's been a little, I say, it's been magical, and it's been like lightning in a bottle, singularly unique. And I do question whether or not I deserve the fortuitous goodness that has happened to me. The only flip side to that is the world is going to shit and hell in a handbasket. And I get very much despaired sometimes, where I am maybe not overwhelmed, but rather over-absorbed with this, and all I can see is this. Much like when you're a lawyer and all you see are businesses breaking up, people fighting, divorces, and you say, how the hell do people have happy marriages and successful businesses? I'm lucky now to see both. But it's been the most miraculous, fortuitous sequence of events that I could have possibly imagined, and I'm grateful beyond words. And I've got a bit of the guilt about, you know, not everybody who has worked as hard, and not everybody who's worked harder, has had, you know, things line up in the way that things have just, you know, magically lined up for me in certain issues. So it's been amazing. What happened with CIA and James, says Finley? He got some dude, a guy working at Deloitte, who was a contractor for the CIA, basically admitting that they were withholding information from Trump. Trump's an idiot, can't be trusted with secrets, so they were deliberately concealing information from Trump. It's a 27-minute expose yesterday. Joe Maskew says, so what do we think about the young men getting a $500,000 rager? I saw that. I don't know the full story to that. That's a keg party, right? Trudeau called PP spineless, then PP gets the boot for telling the truth. Trudeau is a wacko. Oh my goodness. Trudeau calls PP, Pierre Poilievre, an extremist, white nationalist, adjacent, all of these like fundamentally destructive names. Oh, wacko man with a wacko policy. That's it. I think the whole thing was coordinated. Viva, remind people of the meetup on May 10th, on the 10th of May. We're having a meetup on the 10th of May. The format, as far as I understand it, it's in Toronto. It's a free speech. It's a free speech promoting event. Glenn Greenwald's going to be there. Don Jr., Kimberly Guilfoyle, David Menzies, Rebel News, Ezra Levant, Sheila Gunn Reid. I feel like I'm forgetting somebody, and me. So that might be it, actually. It's going to be 30 minutes each in front of a live crowd. And then there's going to be a Q&A afterwards. It's going to be amazing. That's an epic party in the making. Here's the GoFundMe for edification. Throw me a rager. I'm not supporting GoFundMe. $500,000. But update. We are overwhelmed with the glorious support. Commie losers across the country have invaded college campuses to make dumb demands of weak university administrators. God, I kind of like that, actually. Got to give them credit where credit's due. Thanks, Viva. Good day, everyone, says Mighty Pay. Don Jr. is going to be there. Absolutely, with Kim. Oh, I got to figure out what the pain in my butt. I said I'd get a new chair, and I had 400,000K, and I didn't get the chair yet. Not because. Okay, we got Crash 105 says, "Wow, local CBS affiliate doing everything they can to make this PSU thing look like a contentious situation." Yes, you deserve it, Viva. Life is not fair. You could have been homeless instead. USA Now. Most people don't know this. I remember at one point in time. I want to remember her name. Hold on, I don't have my other phone here. The woman who protected men's rights in the manosphere. Oh, shoot. Hold on. I got to get her. Woman X men's rights manosphere. I had her on the channel. Hold on. It's going to drive me crazy. The chat probably already got it, but I'm not looking there. Women. Oh, I'm begging anybody. I had her on the channel, and she always comments, and she always has the smartest comments in Karen Strawn. Karen Strawn, thank you very much. Okay. So yeah, Karen Strawn. I remember one point when I stopped practicing law, and I remember seeing a comment from her. She said, well, he might have had, how he's able to do this, he must have either saved up money or had family money. And, you know, I'm not saying, like, we came from a very, very fortunate upbringing, a very fortunate family. My dad was a successful lawyer, had five kids, and, you know, we had all of the amenities. We wanted nothing, needed nothing. But when I wound up the law practice and I went into, you know, marketing, I was, holy crap, did I not have my, it was the most irresponsible and reckless thing that I'd ever done. And we, you know, in the year and a half it took to wind up the practice, we were still paying employees and I was not drawing a salary, but I was having living expenses and those go down as shareholder loans. And yeah, I was in the hole. And then I was sitting on this lithium stock that I thought was going to be my nest egg that was going to get me out of everything. And then that company went bankrupt and holy crap. I mean, I remember there was a night where I was up sweating and sobbing my eyes out. Cause like what the F had I done to my life? And then, you know, fluke after fluke and, but for the, you know, that's it. But, we came from a very, very, well off, I mean, you know, a very comfortable family. But back in the day, holy crap, I was falling off a cliff and those wings were not growing quite fast enough. And there was a real prospect of being heavily indebted and having to crawl back hands and knees to the practice of law, which would have been hard on my knees and elbows, but mostly hard on my heart. So, Deep Viva, this is from SB Farmer 8. This is what you should be putting on YouTube, this interaction. Well, I'll put the whole thing up afterwards, but this is the locals party that we get, the exclusive interaction on vivabarneslaw.locals.com. There's a real concern about when I stopped practicing law, you have a memory bank of experience, and then you realize you're not going to get anything to add to that memory bank of experience from the practice of law. And if you stop acquiring meaningful life experience, then you start losing things to talk about and you start losing a knowledge that comes from having meaningful educational life experience. Neurodivergence says, hardships make us stronger. Okay, that's a beautiful graph right there. In the Belfry says, Viva, take Australian bone broth. Do it. It will help your butt pain. I'm doing it right now. Do I take it up the butt or do I... I'm sorry, that was a joke. Unavoidable under the circumstances. Yes, I'm presuming I consume the bone broth, right? Because it's got, what's the stuff that I'm looking for that's in bones? Not marrow, but not ketogen. The chat's going to get it again. Collagen. I presume it's got collagen, which might be good for my butt, which is so, it kills. Like it's, oh, hold on. The sciatic is one thing, but it's also the pain in my back. And then I'm so neurotic, I'm thinking like maybe I got something from the jibby. Like I'm crazy, people. I think you all know that right now. Christy Lou says, Viva, the world needs your heart as it is. Well, I hope I haven't done damage to my heart. I have since I've taken those two shots. I've always been concerned about having heart issues because my grandfather did die young from a heart attack on my father's side. Young, I guess the 60, what was he? It was young. And my mom's dad died of a heart attack when she was a teenager. So I've always worried about that. But I want to do a stress test at some point. But I think my heart's fine. But my butt's not fine. My butt's killing me. The sciatic is killing me. Anyhow, that's it, but also getting old. Viva Fry, apparently there is a collagen effect from ground beef, by the way. Don't sweat the small stuff too much. OCD is about sweating the small stuff. Collagen. It's because you have all that gold up there. Hold on. Let me just take out my... Oh, yeah, my pocket watch that I got. No, I'm not... I smell it because it has it does have a funky smell to it, but this is the Elgin National Watch Company. I got to take it to a watch shop and have them fix it because it's not keeping time properly. Let's go up here. I'm glad you didn't end up back in the practice. You're too fun to suffer in Canadian law. Oh, can you imagine, like going back to a practice, going back to working? It's one thing paying off a debt when you love what you do. Can you? I mean, there's many people out there who do not have the blessing of like doing something they love to pay off debts. It happens. It's just, you're going to do it anyhow, and then it just happens. And then one day, holy crap, I don't owe the government anything, and it's a very, very liberating. That's the liberating thing. Oh. Nah, so I gotta go change that bloody windshield, but that's not a bad one. One teaspoon of bone broth enema, LMAO. Best white pill, new baby, none jab, says Hyphen. Beautiful. And we got Giocondo. Check this out when you have time. And we got a DC, what does it say? Substack. Urgent message from a former Canadian military veteran to be publicly shared. Please read this and share it with your friends. Dr. William Mackis. I'm gonna continue reading. Okay, this looks long, but I'm going to read it afterwards. And then maybe. So I got to do a car vlog of James O'Keefe. Do you know Clint Russell? For sure. If you do not, next time talk to Luke. No, no, I know Clint. I've been on the show. They're great. Meme of the day, definition of a socialist, someone who wants to have everything you have except your job. Sorry. I'm going to go ahead and screen grab that and share that on Twitter right after this show. Oh, you know what? I'm actually going to do it like this. I'm going to get some like very subtle marketing or very subtle advertising for vivabarneslaw.locals.com. I'm going to screen grab this. And when I tweet it, people are going to see the backdrop. Everybody, speaking of butt pain and fishing, I'm going to go fix that windshield because I do not feel safe. I never knew. Like, the windshield is a structural item on a car and it needs to be replaced. So I'm going to see if... I was told that in Florida, you get one free windshield replacement a year without it affecting your premium, because I'm not making a claim to change a windshield. I might just do it anyhow. I'm not waiting. Okay, so that's it. People, we've done very well. We've done well. Let me see if there's any more questions, real quick ones that we can get towards the end here. Viva needs one more baby. I wouldn't say no, but well, you'd be keen to know Clint is my second Mulvaney victim. Oh, Finboy, I saw that. In the babies are the best, says in the Bill of Rights. We need more and more and more. David, my brother, you have more people praying for you and your family than you realize. Neurodivergent, thank you very much. Okay, we're going to end it on that because thank you very much. That makes me feel, thank you. Okay, done. People, go. Have a good day. Go fishing if you can. And go exercise if you can. I jogged this morning, but it hurt. I'm going to do some push-ups. I'm going to go fishing. I got new lures. Gave one lure to a kid down the street, a heat-on thing, and I'm going to go fish. Okay, go. Enjoy the day, and I'll see you tomorrow, 2 o'clock, Norm Pattis. It's going to be beautiful. Peace.